thank you today. And, you know, there's like so many needs that are upon our hearts. And we just love you. We thank you. We thank you for the surgery of Sharon's brother, first of all, which lasted 11 hours, I guess. It's a long time. Mm-hmm. And thank you. And just start that healing process. You are the God that healed. You sent your word to heal us. Body, soul, and spirit, our minds, our thinking. And these bodies seem to be breaking down, but you can quicken us in our mortal bodies. We thank you for your love. We thank you for those that are here and those who are even living in fear, too. Talk to some people. They're living in great fear over this. And just comfort them, Lord. Just comfort them. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. So the baptism at our house is canceled, right? We don't have to come. Benicia, can you come up here, please? Benicia is back in the house. Give it up. Let's go. Boy, has she gone through some things, but if you could just share.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to thank all of you for your prayers and God being so good to me. It's through our hard times we know how good He is.
Yeah.
I did not think He could be any better, but each day
is better.
Hallelujah. I'm telling
Praise
you,
God.
That is my fourth surgery and I have one more to come, but His blessing
wow.
multiplying
wow.
every day.
Amen.
So take heart.
Wow, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Turn in your Bibles this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And again, Father, for the word of God today, just shower your love upon us. Shower your mercy. You are with us, Lord. You are with us. We just praise you today. We thank you for the word of God. The word that is able to quicken us and stir us up and build us up and to edify us. And all that God has to say for us, it's towards us and for us. Amen. We are equipped because He says we are equipped. We are loved because He says we are loved. We receive mercy because He pours out His mercy. We are forgiven because He says we are forgiven. Such an amazing Savior. Savior, Deliverer, the Sent One, the Living Word, came to us to give us life eternal. Yeah, one day, but even now, we get to live in the fullness of God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So 1 Samuel 30, we're going to cover this whole thing, but I'm just going to read the first three verses and then give you an overlay of what's happening here. It says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. Last week we spoke about discouragement, fear, which leads to discouragement, and how we have given by God, through the Word of God, ways to deal with this discouragement in our lives. Because things will discourage us. Amen. Things will come always in our path to discourage us. Keith could be discouraged now after yesterday's game. but you know, those things come, they happen. Things come into our lives and discourage us. And in Jude 20, he gives us two amazing things on how to deal with discouragement. Number one, to build yourself up on your most holy faith. We must learn to build ourselves up, folks. We can, you know, a lot of us want encouragement from others, and the Bible tells us that too. But we can't rely or depend upon others to do it. We must learn what the Bible tells us to do within the Word of God. Because it's a fellowship, it's a relationship with Christ. So we use what we hear by faith, and we take those words and we use them to build ourselves up. And then the second one was Jude 21, where it says, and keep yourself in the love of God. Boy, that's a position. That's a position that we have to fight through like the forest. And you know, I was doing some chopping of trees over this weekend, and it's like a web, you know, and where's this thing coming? I'm pulling and it just keeps coming and coming, and you know, but this is how it is to keep ourselves in the love of God, because we're like entangled with things from the world and things from life and things from our job and situations. And to position yourself in God's love takes a mindset that is thinking with God. So these two things are very important. I'm going to give you the third one today, and what it is encourage yourself in the Lord. So we build ourselves up, but really first we must learn what it means to encourage yourself in the Lord. A little bit about this this happening here. This all happened because David became discouraged. It all led because David was discouraged. And if you want to read it later on, in chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, if you go back there, it talks about that David was discouraged over and over because Saul was persecuting him and trying to kill him and chasing him, and he was running. He was always on the run. And he came to the point, he was running so much that he said, I got to stop. And he was very discouraged. He was very discouraged because Saul was trying to kill him. And so what the Bible says, he says, he looked into his own heart and said, I'm going to the Philistine country. And that's a problem there. Because we don't want to look into our own hearts for direction or guidance. You ever hear people say today, oh, well, just do what your heart tells you. You'll be fine. What does your heart say? And that's the worst advice anybody could ever get. Because Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And if you want to really know who you are, go ahead and search your heart. But don't stay there long. Because you will be very discouraged. You will be very upset, and it will really, really mess you up. Because it's wicked. It's wicked down there. But this is what David did. And he says, I'm going to go to the Philistine country, and I'm going to go there and live, because I'll be away from Saul. But that problem, that decision, that choice, which came from his own heart, also infected 600 other men. 600 men that trusted David. And not alone them, but all their wives. And not alone them, but all their children. So this is a city that ended up moving out of Israel and into Philistine. And this is where they planted themselves. And this is where they lived. And the Bible tells us that that David even joined with his men, the Philistine army. He joined in with them. And they were going out the battle. And this is what the world will do. When you're in a worldly country, you become part of them. And God never told him to go there. This is all on his own. Because he was a little discouraged. He was a little distressed. And people think, oh, when I'm discouraged, let's move. Let me just take a move and things will change. My circumstance will change because I'm in a different area. No, it follows you. It's right there with you. You know, we knew a couple that was with our church in West Palm Beach. And they moved because of economic reasons. Oh, I got a job or I got school. That was it. It was school and a job. And I'm going and I'm moving there. And you know what? Today, some 20 years later, they're still looking for a church. They're drier than anything. Wow. And they miss God's. You never move from the geographical will of God. If God has called you to the body, this is where you plant and deal with what happens around you. You don't move to move. Okay? It's only a calling. So, only in the calling, I mean, you move is what I meant. Okay, so they are now with the Philistines and they are in war. They're getting ready to go to war. And the Philistines decide, we're going to attack Israel. And they're going to attack Israel, and David's in part of them. And all of a sudden, the leaders of the Philistine armies turn around and look around, and David's and his men are gathering up the rear ranks. They're protecting the backside of the Philistines. And they're saying, this ain't right. He can turn on us in a moment. You know, don't think that his legiocy is so great that he won't maybe think about that. And so they addressed that. You know, they addressed them in that. And they said, yeah, you're going to have to go. You cannot be part of this with us. And so David leaves and they head back to where they made camp and where they set up as families, and that was in Ziklag. And it was a 3-day journey back, some 55 miles. And David and his men made that trip back. And when they got there, as you see, they found that the Amalekites burned the city to the ground. They burned the city to the ground. They took everything they had. And now remember, we know this, but they didn't know this. They thought their wives and everybody would be dead. They probably didn't think the children were dead because they will mention that in a prayer. But I think they thought their wives were dead. All their spoils, everything that they had, everything that they owned was looted, was taken, and everything was burned to the ground. This is what they came back to. This is what they came to. And it says here in verse 4 that David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to even weep. Verse 4. 1 Samuel 30, verse 4. And so, no more power to even weep and to think about what was happening and what took place and everything that's going on in their life. And in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Or discouraged. For the people spoke of stoning him because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. See, right now they're grieved just for their son and daughter because they didn't think they would kill children. So David is greatly distressed because now they're turning and they want to stone him. And rightfully so. It was his choice that brought him there. It's because of that this all took place. Now here's the thing. David was distressed, but he didn't live in distress. And that's the key. We cannot take our position and live in that position. No matter what is happening, if we live in distress, we'll become more distressed. But he didn't do that. David didn't live in the distress. It says, and by the way, he has a right to be. He has a right to be distressed. Running for his life from Saul, rejected by the place that he's at, in a foreign country, his home burnt down to the ground, his wife taken, his children taken, and now the men that he invested in his life, the only one that he invested in, are my friends, are now turning on me to stone me. He's got some problems here. And what he does is what we learn from. Because again, we don't live in that distress. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And how do we do that? First of all, he received grace. The only way that we encourage ourselves in God is by receiving grace from God in 2 Corinthians 12:9. So he receives grace. We must always receive grace. Whatever problem, whatever situation you're in, receive God's grace because it's free. God gives us grace. Freely gives us grace. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And then the next thing he did was really incredible. He calls the high priest that was there and says, bring me the ephod. Bring me the ephod. Now, this has double meaning. This is two different meanings. The ephod is what the priests wore. It's their whole outfit. The outfit that they wore when they went into the Holy of Holies to be present with God. Bring me that. Let's start there. Okay. Now, this is something he should have done before he went down to Ziklag. But he trusted in his own heart. Now he's seeking God. Now he's getting proper counsel, right divine how to walk and how to live and what to do. And sometimes we think, right here at this point, does he really need to seek God? I mean, think about it. If your family was just wiped out, if your village was just tore down, if your men are turning on you, you have to easily get them on their side. Come on, let's go get the Amalekites. Let's go now. I don't need to seek God for that, you wouldn't think. But he knows if he would have went without God, it could have been a totally different outcome. But he sought God even for every problem. Now, the thing also about the Amalekites here that we got to understand. The Amalekites, this group here, this is the son of Esau. One of the sons of Esau, that now is their own tribe. And Esau means the flesh. It speaks of the flesh. Remember, Esau sold his birthright for some lentils porridge or whatever, soup or whatever you want to call it. He had lentil bean soup. And because of his flesh and the needs of hunger, he sold the blessings of God for the natural desire to fulfill his own flesh. So Esau is everything to deal with the flesh. And this is where this battle is now. This is the battle of the flesh. And the flesh will really get you to be discouraged in your outcome of what you see by sight. Things don't look good by sight. I get discouraged. Fear, discouragement, it all comes in. But he encouraged himself. He encouraged himself on. He asked for the ephod. Now the ephod is a covering. It starts with a covering. And we need that covering. We need a covering. David knew he needed a covering. He does not approach God without a covering. He comes into the presence of God with a covering. With a covering. Our covering is in Christ Jesus. We have a covering that I know that in Christ that I'm accepted by God. Amen. I'm not accepted any other way except for by Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't come into the throne room of God without the righteousness of Christ upon my life. So now that's my entrance, and this is the ephod. This is what it represents. That I'm in right standing with God, and that I can approach God. And the second thing means that when you wear the ephod, you're going to get proper counsel from God. And those two things are amazing. How I'm in the presence of God, and that I know that God is going to speak to me. And he asks, is it allowed for me to go after him? How many would go to God in that prayer or would just do it? You know, your wife has been taken, your children have been taken, your city's been burned. Let's go. Let's go and just... But no, he went after God. He went after God and looked for his counsel in this. And we need God's counsel. God's counsel is available when I have the covering of the body of Christ and the righteousness of Christ in my life. And the answer is found in verse 8, where God answers him and says, pursue, thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, you're going to recover all. And what a promise now this becomes. Because now I got a promise from God. Number one, I got a promise that my family's alive. Because he says you're going to recover all. And I need to hear that. Because that deals with my fear in my life, and that deals with that discouragement. You know, the great thing is when you encourage yourself in the Lord, the promises of God are living, and they're for you, and they're personal. And we can walk in them and believe in them. And we can trust in God, because now God says, you're going to recover all. Just go ahead with it. And so in verse 9, just the beginning, it says, so David went. It means he started to walk in faith. And you know, once you receive the promise of God, you do not go back to the discouragement. You don't fellowship with the discouragement after you get a promise from God. You walk by faith in what you just received. And sometimes we miss that. We miss that. Oh, I got a promise from God, but you're not walking in faith. You're still talking about being discouraged. You're still talking about how bad things are, how difficult things are. And they are. We get that. Mm-hmm. But that's what discouragers want you to live in. Mm-hmm. They want you to live in the effect of what the flesh or the sin nature is putting upon your life. Mm-hmm. Promises of God are things that are not seen. It takes faith to receive it. Mm-hmm. And so David goes and he walks by faith. He walks by faith. And what the Bible then tells us, he says that then they came up to the brook of Beshor. And at that time, remember what's going on. They have now traveled 3 straight days, right? 55 miles with the troop to get to Ziklag. And now from Ziklag to the brook of Beshor is another 15 miles. Mm-hmm. So 70 miles of traveling. In unrest and distress. Because, you know, you still have that doubt in your mind of, you know, what are we going to find? What are we going to see? Are we ever going to find them? Are we going to locate them? How are we going to find this group? Where are they? You know, they're just going. And sometimes you can be discouraged like that. But after that period of time with not too much of refreshment and everything else, 200 of the 600 cannot go on no more. And they stop and they stay there. And David resumes with 400 men now. They've lost 200 in their battle. 200 for their request to get what they want. And a little shortly after that, they get their break, and they run into an Egyptian man who was left by these Amalekites, and he was left for dead, and he didn't eat or drink for 3 days, and David's men found him, brought him to David, and they gave him water and bread and a few other things, and it says and his spirit came back to him, and because David invested in him and he fed them, and David asked, what do you know about all this? And he admitted, yeah, we burned Ziklag down, you know. And he says, you need to lead me to them. And he says, I'll do that as long as you don't turn me over to my master. And sure enough, he leads them to where this group is. And they're doing it all up. They're drinking and eating and dancing and enjoying this great these spoils that they really took in the Philistine land and in Judah. And this is what this was considered. And the Bible tells us in verse 17 that David smote them all from nighttime to the following night. And out of all their group, only 400 got away. They killed all of them. And they recovered their wives, their children, and all that was taken away from them. And you think about that, and you know, sometimes we get discouraged over things that we don't know the outcome of, because it's hard. Things of life discourage us. They're always coming against us. But the key is to encourage yourself in the Lord. And what's going on? I don't understand this. And even now, you look at it and you still don't understand it. You still lost everything where you're living for. Everything is still gone. But, you know, discouragement makes us hopeless. Discouragement makes us faithless. Discouragement even makes us Christless. Because it occupies all of our thinking. And there is no time even for God. God's knocking in, and we're completely pushing it away because we're so consumed with what is bothering me. And I live in that. And the great thing that we learn from here is David did not live in that. He does not live in that. So what do we do when things are hopeless? What do we do? What do we do when, you know, all is lost? When we believe everything is lost? You know, and by the way, we don't find courage, even though they can bring temporary courage, in our wives, in our children, even though they're a great blessing, and God has given them to us to encourage each other. But that's not where you find full encouragement from. We don't find it from our friends, because in a heartbeat they'll turn around and stone you. We find encouragement in the Lord. We find encouragement from God. We don't find encouragement in our work, our profession, in what God has blessed us with, in our talents. We find encouragement in Christ Himself. So the story doesn't end here. Because there's still 200 men, remember? At Beshur. And they're going back, and they come across them, and there are men that say they need to be excluded from everything. We're the ones that did it all. And a lot of people are like that. I did all of this. This is all mine. Yeah. But David didn't think that way. Number one, how would you like to be one of the wives that all the husbands are getting their wives, and where's your husband? Oh, he's still back at Beshur. He couldn't make it. You know? You know, yeah. You know, so he's into trouble enough. You don't have to worry about these guys. Their wives and their kids are going to say, but Dad, where were you? You know? And this is why I really, really pray for the men of this church that they come to church. There's no excuse for not a man to be here. None. Every week. Every week. God speaks to the men of the church. These are women too. They're a major blessing. But, you know, and we understand work. We get that. Some that have to work. But if you're at home, under the covers or whatever, it's only an hour, folks. You can sleep the rest of the day. That storm will wait. Don't worry. You'll have time to put your shutters up. The excuses, the doctrine of excuses to be away from the body of Christ is damaging to the family. Sorry. It really is. It really is. So they go back, and even the men saying, yeah, this is going to be all ours. And because David had a heart after God and received grace and built himself up, encouraged himself in the Lord. When you encourage yourself in the Lord, you speak the things of the Lord. Amen. It's amazing. Amen. Your prayers are from God. Your thoughts are from God. Grace is flowing through you. You're encouraging people because you're not doing it from yourself. I don't need your encouragement. I need what God has in you. Amen. That's what encourages me. People do a fleshly gratification, edification thing. And you can see right through it. It's not genuine. It's not real. It drives people even. Are you encouraging me? Are you trying to do something else? You know it's not right. We need to be in front of God. And David says this. No, they're part of us. And our reward is their reward. And they all partook. They all partook of the blessings of the God. That's God's grace. That's God's grace. You know, in closing, we look at a lot of different things in life, right? And a lot of things will discourage us even going forward. And if you look at David's life, it's like one discouragement after another. I mean, it's ongoing. And you know what? Most of all the psalms that are written here are from starting out from David being discouraged. And look at the life that comes through being discouragement, or through discouragement. A situation of discouragement doesn't change the fact that God loves me and that God will never leave me. And God is going to bless me and see me through this. You know? And even if he doesn't, you know, I am going to find encouragement in him. In Christ. We find our encouragement in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you encourage us. You give us the Word of God that encourages us. We get built up. We get built up by you, Lord. We thank you for your amazing love, the grace of God, what you're doing in the hearts of people. Lord, if there's somebody here today that is just really discouraged with outcomes, we get discouraged with outcomes. A lot of times not with what's happening, more of what the outcome is. I don't like the way this went. I don't like the way that went. This should have been different. That should have changed. And it discourages us. God will never put discouragement on people. It comes from the enemy. The words of God build us up. These words edify us. In these words, we find life over things that are temporal. We find courage over things that are discouraged. We find hope over things that are hopeless. We look to you, God. We look to you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, your gentleness, your kindness upon the body of Christ. Encourage people today that are going home to prepare for the hurricane. Give them a call. Encourage them in it. We thank you, Father. We love you.